Stuart, then, first of all, let's start with team news. Following on from Saturday's match, anybody else who's on the sick list?
You're supposed to ask me if there's anybody else available from the sick list. No, we've just got one or two carrying just slight strains, but nobody to come out of the treatment room, so we'll probably be the same group of players that we had on Saturday.
In terms of the players who were already injured then, what's the prognosis? It was unclear about Keane and Semedo as to whether they'd play again this season. Do you know now if they might be able to?
Well, obviously, Keane's gone back to Manchester United. They're treating him at the moment. I think he's got a slight problem at the back of the ankle, which Manchester United are treating him, seeing a specialist. And Semi's just foot can't clear up at the moment. So I think we've got planned for him to have an injection tomorrow with a view to maybe pushing him on next week.
Do you make changes following on from Saturday's game again?
Do I make changes? Like I said, there's one or two carrying little bits of knocks and strains. So there probably will be a few changes tomorrow.
How was that he knew you? He had quite a day on Saturday.
Yeah, he's a big character. He's frustrated, like us all. Like the fans are frustrated. He's disappointed. And like I said, on Saturday he came in and apologised to his team. But the most important thing, I've said before, is we're one team on the pitch and we're one team off the pitch. And I can understand the supporters' frustration with the chants. He's disappointed. We're disappointed. But if anybody's frustrated, it's me as well, is that we should have more goals, not just from Atty, but from Stevie May, from Will Keane, from Sergio Bush, from Caelan Lavery, from Tom Lees. I could go on and on and on. But like I say, Atty has came and apologised because he realised that's what he gets paid for, to score goals. It was a big chance for us and it didn't work.
Why do you think then, as a team, that they have struggled to score goals this season? Because, yeah, all very well, OK, there's going to be a focus on the strikers, perhaps naturally, but defensively too. I mean, in the past, the likes of Semedo weighed in with quite a few, didn't they? But this group don't seem to score so many.
Well, when you say group, probably Kieran Lee's probably best season ever for scoring goals. No, hey, the most important thing, I'd be frustrated if we weren't creating chances. Now, we have created lots of chances. I think Stevie May's probably been a bit unlucky the amount of times he hit the woodwork this season. So it's that thin dividing line, whether it's the inside of the post and goes in or it's the post and comes out. But no, I've got a lot of confidence in this group of players that there are goals in the team, but we've got to keep creating them.
I suppose given the time at the season where it is and what is potentially on the cards next season, listeners to BBC Radio Sheffield are starting to wonder if, you know, the newies of this world are going to be good enough to spearhead a playoff chasing attack, if you like, next season. Do you have faith that he could be like that?
Well, he is our top scorer. Atty is our top scorer by two or three goals, I think it is at this moment. But he's under contract. He's Sheffield Wednesday's player, and that's, like I say, I'll work with all the players that are under contract. We've got players that are coming out of contract, and that is that time of the year where people will speculate who's coming in, who's going away. But the most important thing is come August the 8th next season, when the game starts, that we've got a competitive group of players that are going to push this team up to where we want to get to.
Because you've made no secret about the fact that you would, you know, it's that player, that 20-goal-a-season striker, the mythical player, if you like, or certainly the financially expensive one. I mean, this lot then should be worried, given their recent goals return.
But again, it's not just about the 11 that you pick. You've got to have a group of players, you've got to have a squad of players, and at the moment, you just need that competition. So the most important thing, like you say, is that when we evaluate the season, our home form's been poor, we haven't won enough games, we've created chances and we haven't converted them chances.
Is that now starting to become almost a psychological issue? You know, it's obviously a theme because it's carried on this season, but does it affect players?
No, I don't think so. It affects players when obviously they miss chances and the crowd's reaction. I think that's bound to affect anybody's confidence. But like I say, we're one team on the pitch and we should be one team off the pitch as well. But We'll try and put it right, and we've got a great game tomorrow against Brentford, and hopefully we're going to put it right.
Because I just wonder if on Saturday, given that reaction from the supporters, if they, you know, patience is starting to wear thin with some of the guys that are just missing these chances regularly.
Well, again, like I say, they care. Supporters care. They pay very good money, and like I say, we're just as disappointed what they are. I can understand their frustrations at that stage of the game where we can't get that second goal to kill teams off. And that's been our Achilles heel this season, is that we haven't been able to get that second goal or even get the goal when it's been a nil-nil. So No, we've got to keep believing. I keep believing in these players, and like I say, we've got a good game tomorrow against Brentford, then go to Bournemouth, then Leeds, and then finish against Watford.
There's only a couple of home games to go. Obviously, it all comes together in the end, but there's only a couple of home games to go. Is there anything that can be done in the short term just to instigate a little bit of home form to take into next season?
Put that ball over the line. Get it right in both boxes. At the moment, we're not doing it right in both boxes. We're conceding goals, and it's the manner in which we concede the goal that's disappointing. But we need to take the pressure off Westy and the back four as well by converting them chances. Like I said, the honesty of this championship is unbelievable. It's going to go down to the wire, as in we can see no team's romping it. And everybody keeps going until whatever the length of the time, whether it be 92nd minute, 93rd, 94th. On 95th, but we know, and I know, and you know, is that our home form has not been good enough, not acceptable, and that's an area that we need to improve on for the remainder of the season and for next season as well.
I appreciate you won't want the away form to suffer, which has been excellent this year, but is that a key priority for next season? Because it seems to affect everything. More Sheffield Wednesday supporters are going to watch you at home.
Of course it is. Yeah, at the end of the day, you've got a lot of people, like I say, that are working all week. It costs a lot of money to come to watch a game of football and want to be entertained. Now, sometimes it's about the result. If we can get a good result and get a good performance, I'm one of the happiest coaches, yes. But the be-all, end-all is that the fans want to see home wins, and we haven't done that on a regular basis.
Lloyd Isgrove has just been sat in that chair there. He has, speaking loosely, it has to be said, speculated about potentially coming back next year should he not be too involved at Southampton, etc., etc. Is he a player you could see coming back to be part of things next year?
I think the boy's come in here and into the football club and done extremely well. I think the fans have taken to him. He gives 100%. He's a quality player. He's one of these lopsided players that I say that he's right-footed playing on the left wing, but he can use his left foot. Again, I think Lloyd had a great chance to get us a goal on Saturday, and then he's hit the bar as well. So, and it's great and refreshing that, like I say, he's got off his backside, left a Premier League club who are going for a top four place, wanting to learn his trade. He's learning his trade here. And one thing we do know is he's a credit to Southampton. And if we can get him back here, it'd be great. But the most important thing, like I say, is Southampton's player.
In the overall, almost extended settling in process now, are you getting happier, if you like, with Mello and Bush? Is there more of an impact to come from them?
Yeah, it's like anything. It's a big culture shock coming to this country. Again, we're still working on Mello with his English. Bush is a bubbly character. Bush speaks about three or four languages. But no, it's the tempo of the game and the intensity of the game that they've got to realise is. It's again, they've said they can't believe the speed of the balls moving across the pitch, the work rate they're having to put in. So it's getting their fitness levels up as well.
So Brentford then as a challenge. There's still part of me that keeps thinking this lot are a surprise package still, even though they've had a great season. What do you put their success down to?
Probably on the run of promotion the previous season. They've carried on the momentum, and that's what people often say. When teams get promoted, they carry on that momentum, and they've had a great, fantastic season. But it's no secret that we've probably created as many chances as they have, but they've probably converted more than we have, which is that's why they are where they are in the league.
They've almost got this stats-based way of looking at it. I think it's colloquially the money ball system to do with baseball and statistics and all that. Do you still feel that might be unique in football, or is that a trend? Do more and more clubs look at it a bit like that?
Well, it's not difficult when you're looking at recruiting a player. You're looking at players, whether midfield, what mileage they're running games, what chances they create, what goals they score. Same with forwards. So you're always looking at players, them sort of stats. You're never going to go away from them sort of stats. And I'm not too sure of the baseball money ball theory, though.
It's been an odd situation at Brentford where Mark Warburton's future has been in the public domain and is seemingly decided right now, and that he's off in the summer. And yet still the players and the club motor on. I mean, how much credit does that deserve, if you like?
Fantastic. Again, I'm only going on speculation. Allegedly, that's what's going to happen. we'll see what does happen. But he's got a good group of players. As we know, when we played down there, we got a 0-0 draw. We had to sort of hang in there first 15 minutes. They came out the traps. They close you down. They work you. They've got a style of play. And they've got players that are scoring goals, and they've got a lot of energy in the team. But the most important thing, like I say, it's another home game for us, and we're after that home win.
Is it a case of fingers crossed? I mean, it is almost getting to that stage where you just need it to happen now. 1-0 doesn't matter how it happens, and all of a sudden a bit of life comes back into the home form this season.
It's not fingers crossed. Again, like I said, if we weren't creating chances, we've hit the woodwork twice on Saturday, had his chance. We've had a couple of other good chances as well. The most important thing is that self-belief, and that's I see them. I work with these players every day. They've got the belief on the training ground. What we produce on the training ground, we've got to take into Hillsborough. We've definitely done it away from home, but we've got to make sure we start making sure it's not a monkey on our back.